Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service, offering globally recognised Prince 2 project management training, which leads to consistently better results in your projects.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. In the first of a two-part series featuring Donegal companies that have benefited from Uthers na Gaeltachta's trading online initiatives, we speak to Neil Ferry, owner of Donegal Coppercraft in Minaclarry, and Noreen Harding from the family-run Pixel LA company in Downings. And in the first of our new backing business segment, I'll be speaking to Donna McDade, Donegal ETB Engagement Officer, about the Skills for Work programme. Neil Ferry was born and bred in Dublin. The son of a Gador man, he moved to Donegal with his wife and family in 2015. 2 years later, Neil realised there was a market for his copper embossing skills he'd learned from a friend and set up the Donegal Coppercraft Facebook page. His decision to relocate to the heart of the Donegal Gaeltacht has worked out well.
Well, I started off, I'm from Ballyfermot in Dublin, and there was a good friend of mine, John Farrell, that he does copper embossing. And I seen him doing a few pieces, and he invited myself and my family up to get a couple of lessons off him, and just a small show. And just from there, I was intrigued with what he was doing, thought it was absolutely beautiful stuff. So he gave me a couple more lessons. As I said, I used to play football with the chap too. I was playing football for years. And when I finally came up to Donegal, when I was thinking about coming up to Donegal, the thought was, how am I going to make money when I come up here?
What year was that?
That was, we came up here in late 2015. I was after getting the lessons in Dublin around 2013, 2014, and I started sort of getting a love for it, enjoying it. It was just something that I'd done in past time and when I wasn't busy. And when I come up to Donegal then, myself and my wife were hemming and hawing about, we knew it's very hard to get work up here. So we are trying to think of different ways, and we are applying for jobs here and there, as everyone does. And I decided then to ask my friend in Dublin, would he mind, because of the tourism up in Donegal, the tourism is huge up in Donegal, as you know, because of the tourism up here, I was saying to myself, I'd have a good chance of getting some of his products, some of his materials that he has down in Dublin, the art pieces that he does. And I was going to bring them up and go around to craft shops, and just that way, like, just, you know yourself, in every town there's a craft shop. So that was my main idea, that I was just going to work on commission selling his pieces. Had a talk with John about it, had a talk with the wife, and because of the lessons I was after doing, we sort of all came to the conclusion that if I got into it a little bit more, that I could start producing the pieces myself and take it to the next level. So that's the way sort of I got into the copper. I went down to Dublin on numerous occasions then, getting different lessons off them. And it's just, with the copper, it's trial and error. It's like everything in life. The more you try, you know what way it's going to turn out. And at the very beginning, like everything else, it was just, they weren't great pieces, but they were coming on. I could see the improvement day in, day out. And probably around 2017 up here, I started getting serious about the copper. I knew then that I was getting good at it. And what I done is, I started advertising on my own Facebook page. Just something small. It was coming up close to Christmas, around November 2017. And I was amazed then with the amount of feedback I got off different people. That, like, even relatives was coming and asking me, listen, can you do a Liverpool crest? Can you do an Arsenal, Man United, and so on? And over that Christmas, I got a lot of orders. Now, it was just, as I said, small orders, just football crest and that. But straight away, something just clicked on, a light turned on in my head. Listen, there's money to be made here. So once I'd done that then, I decided then that I was going to progress and I was going to start up my own Donegal Coppercraft Facebook page. So once I started up the Donegal Coppercraft Facebook page, the audience started to grow. And going from just doing football crests, I was getting a lot into me Celtic network and me Celtic designs. And I was getting more interest then from the likes of America, Australia. Mostly America was all the feedback that was coming.
How important, Neil, was the word Donegal and your copper craft title of your business?
It was huge. Every year that I've, since I was young, every summer I've spent is up in Gweedore. My father's from Gweedore, Brinalec in Gweedore, and a big part of my life, a huge part of my life, was always Gweedore and Donegal. So when we sat down to have a talk about what I was going to call it, we were thinking about Gweedore, Coppercraft, and then we says, no, Donegal, it'd be better off with Donegal because it reaches out a wider audience. And as everyone knows, people from Donegal emigrated for years and years and years. So there was a bigger audience for me if I put the word Donegal Coppercraft in.
Okay. So from to come up with the idea, relocating was a big thing for you as well, for yourself and your family, Neil?
It was. When we decided to relocate, we didn't decide to relocate at the beginning. What it was is, where I come from, Ballyfermot. Ballyfermot's a lovely, lovely place. There's lovely people. But it's not a brilliant place to bring up young children. I have three daughters. So we were thinking, him and Holland, and he says, listen, will we go up to Donegal for a couple of months? I was after losing my job in Dublin. And I says, right, we'll come up for a couple of months and see what it's like. We come up, we rented a house, and them 3 months then turned into 6 months. We went back down to Dublin. But when we went back down to Dublin, we realised Donegal was the place to bring the girls up. So we came back up for another 3 months. And then 3 months, we were talked into by family and friends. We were getting close to everyone. The kids had friends, we had friends. And we were sort of talked into saying, stay for the summer. That the best time around Donegal is summertime. You have the weather, you have the beaches, you have the tourists coming, you have everything. It's paradise. If you get the weather. So we decided then, listen, we'll give it a long shot. We rented out the house in Dublin. And from then I got work. I got full-time work with a company in Letterkenny. And my wife got work then with Donegal Youth Services. So everything sort of, since we came up to Donegal, everything sort of fell into place bit by bit, as if we were meant to be up here. So we just took the step then, we sold the house in Dublin and we moved up permanently.
The fact that you knew Donegal so well and you're so close to Gweedore made that move much easier?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, like even the kids, when the kids started their first day in school, there was cousins in the class along with them, there was cousins in the school along with them. So it was easier for them to settle up here. And it was easier for us to settle up here because we knew people.
So, in effect now, Neil, what you have done, you've sort of married your passion for what you enjoy as a hobby and do a job, really, and a business.
That's it, yeah. I spent all my life in construction. And to be honest with you, I love construction. I love concrete. I love everything to do with that. It's what I was always doing. But when I started the copper, I sort of, it was like a little spark coming up that I wanted to do it. I've always liked art. But with the copper then, as the pieces were getting done, and I was seeing people's expressions when they see the copper, the finished piece, that's the thing that drove me to sort of, I was passionate for it then. I'd actually go to bed at night time sometimes. I know this sounds weird, but I'd actually go to bed if I was half finished a piece. I'd sometimes be itching to get up in the middle of the night just to go down and finish the copper.
Neil, can you explain to me the exact process of copper crafting?
Right, well, I import the copper from England. It can't be got over here, the right size copper. But when I get it over from England, it comes in a roll, and I cut the pieces then to size. When the pieces are cut to size, then I have my design planned out. The design then goes onto the copper, then it goes on, it's drawn onto the copper, and then from then on, you use an embossing tool, and the embossing tool leads out all the edges. You have to go around all the edges of the copper. Once that's done, the copper's flipped over onto a soft mat. And then the stuff that protrudes, the stuff that comes out in the copper, has to be all pushed out. And then it's just a thing that you have to turn it back over again. It's a long process. But luckily enough, it's all done by hand. There's no pressing. There's no machine pressing, no nothing.
When you say it's a long process, exactly how long?
Well, we've a piece here in front of us. This piece here is of the St. John's Cathedral in Letterkenny. And I haven't counted the hours that went into it, but roughly you could be talking about as close to a month's work on into it. So it's not a fast process. Everything's done. Now, for the likes of family crests, football crests, anniversary crests, there's loads of different things. Anything can be done in the copper, but you'd be looking at around 6 to 8 hours per piece. That's normal. But for the likes of something bespoke, something special, you have to put the time into it to get it the right way it looks.
How important has the support from Udras na Gaeltachta been for your business?
To be honest with you, I didn't know anything when I came up. I was pointed towards them. I was sceptical of, because I've no Irish myself, and it was in the Gaeltacht area, and I was approaching them. I didn't think that I'd have much chance. But I was opened with welcomed arms. They brought me in. I put my idea out on the table to them. And the backing I've had from them is absolutely brilliant. They started off, I wanted a computer, I wanted a printer, stuff like that, just to get me on the road started. And they helped me out then applying for different grants. And I was able to get the stuff to get me started. And since then, they have been kept in touch with me about different training, any training that I needed. Then they approached me then in 2020, in COVID, when all this COVID started. And they asked me about doing the grant for trading online. And I was amazed when they came to me and said it to me. They explained what way it was that I could be putting my hobby turn into my business now, and then that could be put into an actual website. And he helped me out from start to finish, went through everything. I was successful in the application, and I now have my own website, which is www.donegalcoppercraft.com.
How has the website served you since it's been up and running?
It's grown and grown. It's absolutely brilliant. I do all my sales through the website now, where beforehand it was just PayPal and bank transfers and all, but there was a lot of things that I just say different sites that I went on Facebook, and they'd say, have you got a website? If you have a website, you're legit. It looks professional, it looks great, and it's great for the business. Every order I get now, it's just everything's done through the site. So I wouldn't go back to the old way. The site is the way to go, and it's just growing and growing, and I'm going to be going through and getting more training done. They're putting me through training for the likes of Facebook, Instagram, different stuff like that. So it's getting backed up all the time.
You've commissioned a number of pieces for a number of local groups and organisations. I know that's something you're very proud of.
Yes, I was asked in 2019 by the Donegal International Rally. They came to me, and I was delighted that I'd done a couple of pieces for them, winning pieces. I went on then, and I'd done some pieces for the likes of the Donegal Tunnel Tigers, which it's great because of the name Donegal that I've kept in the business. I've got a lot of leads from it, and there's a lot of people contacting me to keep it in Donegal, which is great. I know that the accent is Dublin, but my heart is in Donegal. But I also went on, I was contacted by the Cross Keys Inn in Antrim. Vincent Hurl, the chap that owns, it's the oldest thatch pub in Ireland. And he invited me down. I done a lovely piece for him, it's of his whiskey that he does. And we came up with the idea then of starting to do a couple of classes. So he invited me back down. I actually went down and done a couple of classes in the Cross Keys, which was very, very successful. And he's actually gone now to the Tourism Board up in Northern Ireland. I can't remember the exact numbers, but he was saying something like he's guaranteed between 50 and 100 buses in a year, please God, when all this COVID relaxes. But he's on about now doing training classes for all the tourists that come in, because he thinks it'll be a very big attraction.
Is that a line of work that you would like to see yourself going into in the future?
I would love to go down that line. It's great interacting with people. Like when I'm doing the copper here in the house, I'm on my own. I'm used to people, I'm used to working outdoors, I'm used to different things. So rather than sitting in the office here and doing the copper on my own, going out, meeting people, telling them the story about the copper, telling them the story of how I went with it, that's one thing that I'm definitely going to get into now in the future.
What advice, Neil, would you give your 21-year-old self?
Oh, my 21-year-old self. Well, I would have taken up the copper a lot younger if I could have. I took to it, I'm 47 now. If I could have taken to it at 21, I could have a bigger business, because I think the potential for the copper is out the door. I think there's loads of potential in it. If I could have done it when I started at 21, I think I'd be a happy man now.
The life skills that you picked up to the stage we're at now, I'm sure they've served you well, and a lot of those will be transferable.
Oh, they would. Like, I've been in concrete all my life. That's what I've done. I've always worked with hands. My father was a carpenter. My father always taught me from a very young age, it's not a sin to have dirty hands. So you could be working in offices. It's not my thing. But since day one, working with my father, I've always wanted to work with my hands. So that's always been brought forward since when I was a child.
And finally, Neil, what does 2021 hold for yourself and Donegal Coppercraft?
I have a lot of ideas. If COVID hadn't come in, would be a different story, but it has. So it gives you more time to think of what you want. I'm in no hurry. That's for definite. I'm definitely not in any hurry. I don't want to try push it on. I would like to go down the road of definitely doing the lessons. But in my eyes, I'd like to be doing the lessons for tourists. So if I know a bus is coming in, the likes of the Crawley Distillery that's up the road here, they have been on to me. They're going to facilitate me in any way that I can. They're going to start selling some of my products. There's a few different things like that. Maybe even open up a small shop that people can come in and see the work getting done. But as I said before, it's not a quick process, so it's not as if I can get products out day in, day out. It's a slow process, but people appreciate the handmade stuff. That's not rushed, that's not machine made. So, please God, 2021, 2022, many doors will open for me, hopefully.
That was Neil Ferry, owner of Donegal Coppercraft. Next up is our new backing business segment, where we'll hear from local state agencies and bodies who are supporting the business sector in these challenging times. Joining me on the line is Donegal ETB Enterprise Engagement Officer, Donna McDade. Donna, you're welcome to Business Matters.
Thank you very much for having me here today, Kieran.
Donna, can you talk to me about the Skills for Work programme?
Sure. The Skills for Work programme is a programme that actually works with employers and employees to actually identify any training or upskilling needs that may be within that organisation or that company. We would aim to work with business to create a bespoke training schedule that would suit their business needs. And the Skills for Work programme is a fully funded programme that is part of the National Government Skills Strategy.
And what has the demand been like for that programme over the last 12 months, Donna?
I've actually only been in the position since July of last year, so really I can only comment from that. But I have to say that we have had a really great response from business over the last few months, especially since the second lockdown. We've had a real response from small and micro businesses in the county, and a really popular response from business is the introductory to the social media courses that we're currently running online.
And obviously, it's a response for the need to change people and how they're doing their business and going online.
Yeah, what we've found is that we had an introduction to social media course that focused on Facebook, and ideally we looked at all the different platforms, but we had researched about what still was the most used platform for Donegal and Ireland as a whole, and Facebook still predominantly is that most used platform. And when we delivered that to quite a few businesses just before Christmas, they then asked us about Instagram. So on the back of that request for business, we actually then created an introduction to Instagram course, and we now have both of these courses running together online, and we have approximately 60 businesses currently engaging with us throughout the county.
And what has the feedback been like so far, Donna?
Very positive. What we've really noticed is that people don't know about social media. They don't know the language that's used. They don't know what's the news feed. What does it mean to schedule a post? What's content strategy? And literally just sitting down with business at that very introductory stage and going through the language that's used, why it's important to have a social media presence now, especially in the world that we're living in today. And business really appreciated that it is that low-level, introductory level where we can literally take them by the hand and walk them through their social media platforms or their first steps within social media.
And finally, Donna, are there more plans to roll out summer courses over the rest of the year?
Yeah, we would hoping to, we're going to see about an introductory to spreadsheets. And again, we would be looking to deliver this online. Hopefully we would to get this up and running after Christmas. And we would have a lot of response from businesses direct asking us about customer service with communications or customer service with personal effectiveness. And we're currently engaged with quite a few businesses creating bespoke training programs for that area as well, because workplace communications has changed.
Donna, it's been great to talk to you. We'll be talking to you soon again. So
right, thank
thanks
you.
For joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
After the break, we'll be catching up with Noreen Harding from the Pixelily Company in Dunnings.
Do you need to upskill your tech or engineering staff? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service can support you to do so with Python, Azure, Java and MS Expert Training. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 912 0500.
Noreen Harding's difficulty in sourcing fabric to design her granddaughter's bedroom, coupled with her son's keenness to invest in a business, led her to setting up Pixelily, Ireland's only on-demand textile printing and design company, in Downings in 2015.
Well, it all came about when I was looking to design my own fabric for my granddaughter's bedroom. And the only place I could find a company that would print the fabric was in the USA. So that's where the kind of initial idea came from. I mean, son James was in Australia at the time, and he was looking to come back to, he'd been out there 11 years, and he was looking to come back, and he had some money to invest in a business. So it took over a year, you know, backwards and forwards, looking at different possibilities, and looked at different printers, and I have a design background anyway. So that's where Pixelily was born. We just, James wanted to invest and I'd got the idea, and Susan is involved as well. She's got the print expertise. So, that's where it all came about.
So what year did you set up here in Dunnings?
We set up here. We were looking for premises, and to be honest, we didn't want to locate in Letterkenny because of the rent and the rates were just so high. And I was just driving past one day and I realised that the old fish factory here was sitting here for maybe 8 years or 9 years without anyone in it. And so I just approached the landlord and asked if we could possibly rent it. It was just by pure chance that I phoned him, and he said, yeah, we'll rent the place to you. And if you want to expand, then there's room to expand.
So explain to me what you do here at Pixelily.
What we do here is we are textile printers and we print on demand, and we're the only Irish on-demand textile printer on the island of Ireland. We can print as little as a swatch or as many as 20, 30, 40 metres, whatever you want. So a lot of textile designers would get their sampling done with us, you know, and then in previous times, they probably went to China then and got the whole run done, but we could quickly get the new samples to them to get them the ball rolling for the next season or whatever that was. But the company's kind of evolved. We've gone from on-demand textile printing to manufacturing products as well, such as cushions, lampshades, tea towels, deck chairs, you name it, anything that you can do with fabric, basically, we will can turn a hand to. Mostly homewares, but we also do some clothing. We've just done, we started to print on jersey now, which is great for baby clothes and things like that. We don't make the baby clothes, but a lot of our customers do. They probably have Etsy shops or their own outlet, you know, maybe homeware side or on the baby wear side or on the fashion side. Someone could just order one cushion from us off the website from the very many designs we have on the site. Or if they've got their own design, maybe they want their children's drawing or painting put on an item, we can print that for them and make it here. So it's a one-stop shop now, you know, without having to go somewhere else to get things sewn up.
Okay. In relation to what you make and the demand for what you produce, have you noticed a big change over the last 12 months?
We have noticed a big change, especially with the online sales. We mostly we would be busy in the winter in our business because textile designers, and they're getting ready for the summer, and they're all their bulk purchases are done in the winter time. So normally around March time to say August, that would be a very quiet time for us. But because of where we are on the Wild Atlantic Way, and we're up here in Downings, a lot of people walk here and exercise here. And we normally would have a shop open in the summer. So we've got the tourist trade in the summer and the designer side of it in the winter.
So you've had to change your way of
working. We had to change the way we do business. So we now do quite a lot online. And we got the online trading voucher from a grant from Udrus to analyse our website. A company analysed our website and said where we could tweak it and where we could generate more sales and things like that, which was brilliant because it just meant that the online side of it got a lot busier. And it's half and half now. We're doing, our repeat customers are still coming to us for bulk orders, but the online one-offs, we're finding that they're coming back as well.
And who you serve, is there any part of the world, or is it all over, that you're noticing that the increase?
We have a very good customer base here in Ireland and Northern Ireland. We have some in the UK that's presenting a few problems at the moment. But we also have customers in Iceland, Belgium, Denmark, throughout Europe and also the US.
I take it the problems you mentioned is to do with Brexit.
It is, yeah.
Can you talk to me about that a wee bit?
The Brexit's a big challenge because some of our supplies come from the UK, so that's been a challenge. Now, we did have to stockpile a bit, and thankfully we did, because it's taken, instead of what would take 4 or 5 days to get here, could be 6 weeks. The paperwork is a bit of a nightmare. On the other side, it's, here it seems to be a lot more organised, but from the UK side, I think they haven't quite got it worked out yet, I don't think. So it is causing problems, but it's nothing that we can't work through. We're looking to Europe for alternatives as well now.
Can you explain the structure of your business and who calls the shots?
Well,
seeing it's family run.
It's a family run business, and we very much make it. Although I'm the director, and I'm
you are the boss now.
I'm the boss, but only on paper. My son he's in Oxford at the moment, so he can't get back to help out. But he's very much kind of just the finance side of things. And then Susan, she does all the print, she's operation print manager, so she manages what's happening with the print. And then we've got, it's all family. So, and then Catherine works on the graphic side, and we've got a couple of girls that come in to sew that are cousins, but it's very much, we kind of just do a quick, where are we at every morning and what do we need to do? And decision making, I try to make decisions. It doesn't always work that way, but and I'm not always right, even though I think I am.
We're sitting in what looks like the nerve centre of the business, yeah. Particularly. Can you explain to me what's going on round us at the minute?
Round us, we have three large digital textile printers, and they're all very much they're all very similar, but they all do different things. our first machine is Florence, the machine, and she is our baby. We started with her, we thought, well, print fabric, how hard can it be? And my goodness, it's a lot harder than you think. But anyway, we're very experienced at it now. Thankfully, we've worked through all the initial issues we had. Florence prints on all natural plant-based fibres, and by that I mean Irish linen, cotton, a range of different cottons and bamboo. So it's all natural fibres, 100%.
That's very important to you?
Yeah, it's very important, and it's very important to our customers because, with sustainability And, you know, being eco-friendly, we try to operate a zero waste in here.
Have you always adopted that policy?
No, we didn't at the beginning. No, we had a lot of waste at the beginning, but we're gradually getting better and better at it. Now, there's still things that we need to do, where packaging and things like that. We still have to work out that, although we mostly use cardboard, but because it's textiles, we do have to make sure it's waterproof and things when we ship out. But the printers now are zero waste on ink, so nothing goes in the water course. Everything's eco-friendly. The inks are eco-friendly. They're all Ecotec certified and everything, and GOTS. And the fabric waste, there is some fabric waste because there might be rejects and things like that. We would recycle them. Some of it goes into loft insulation. Some of it goes to, for instance, last year, the neonatal unit for premature babies were looking for covers for the incubators. So we got some of the ladies to make up, out of all our scraps, we made incubator covers for the neonatal unit for, just to, because it was just something nice to do. Because what I didn't realise was that neonatal babies have sensory problems, so they need to keep out of the light. And it is a revelation to know that. But so you feel like you can help a little bit there. And then when this time last year, we had to close the doors for a couple of weeks because of the COVID. We didn't know what to do. And we started to make masks with all the spare fabric we had.
How many did you make?
We made nearly 6,000 masks.
And where did they go?
They went all over the country to frontline workers, down to Kerry, Cork, Dublin, Limerick. You know, even the UK were asking for them. And they were all free. We just used whatever fabric we had. And then we started to run out of elastic and things like that. And then we got volunteers to help supply some elastic. And
did you find that helped your brand and awareness
did.
A bit?
It wasn't why we did it.
No, but I know that.
But it definitely did. It didn't do us any harm anyway. It actually did a lot of good. It got us noticed. And and we were very grateful because the local solicitor here started a GoFundMe project. And we got some funds then to be able to carry on until the demand, until the proper PPE got through to the frontline workers,
I know Pixel LA are keen to support artists. Noreen,
oh, yes.
Can you talk to me a bit about that?
Yeah, we definitely do like to, it's a two-way thing with the artists on our website. As you know, with the current situation, and it's very hard to sell large pieces of art or any kind of art at the moment. So anyone that wanted to go down the textile journey can talk to us and we can help them, to transfer their art into textiles. And then we have artists on our website. Every 3 months we look at submissions and we put one or two new artists on the website every 3 months. And the reason it takes so long is because, you have to develop the products and get them up on the website and have a relationship, and anyone that's on our website will earn a commission from sales, so that helps them. They don't have to do anything. It's just they just supply the art. The art always belongs to them. It doesn't belong to us.
So it's good networking.
It's networking, but as I say, it's a two-way thing. The artists help us because we are able to keep the website fresh, and they're always putting new things on there, and they're able to earn money for the sales of their goods, and it gets them noticed too. So it's great. It's a great collaboration.
Noreen, if you could give yourself, your 21-year-old self, some advice, what would that be?
My 21-year-old self. Oh, it would be follow your dreams, I think. I kind of left it a bit late to follow them, but I'm following them now. I always wanted to get involved. I've always loved design, fabric, that kind of, artist, design especially. And I just never had the opportunity when I was younger. So I think I could have made the opportunities if I had a, if I really pushed myself. But I think...
But you're enjoying now what you're doing?
I'm enjoying what I'm doing now.
And that's important.
Yeah. 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 And it's great because we're coming every day and it's a family business and, you know, we don't, I mean, we have, like any business, you have it, it has its ups and downs, you know, we've worked through challenging times like any business this last year. But we are in a really good place now and we're so thankful to the customers and the artists, that we work with, because we wouldn't be here and the local support's been great.
And finally, Noreen, what lies ahead for yourself and Pixel Alley for 2021?
For 2021, we have invested in a new printer. So that's the third printer we have. Because the volume has gone up of sales and we need to have a backup if anything. She's just a second printer to Florence. The other printer that we have there is a sublimation printer, so that just does different fabrics. But we hope to expand. We're always looking for new types of fabric. So we're investigating printed on a seaweed-based fabric and one from citrus waste. So we're very excited about that and we're hoping that that will that we'll be able to print on that in the future. That will open up a lot more avenues for not just ourselves but for the textile designers and the people that support us. So innovation, we're always looking to get, you know, innovate and become more and more sustainable.
Noreen Herring, owner of Pixel Alley and Durings, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
So that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Neil Ferry and Noreen Herring. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, offering globally recognised PRINCE2 project management training, which leads to consistently better results in your projects.